Good morning, folks. There's a number of prayer requests, not a whole lot of announcements to take care of this morning, but we do have a number of prayer requests. Diane Shishard called me this week, and she asked me to let the church know that she would appreciate prayer for her brother. Her brother has very serious cancer and in very bad shape. So pray for Diane's brother, Jerry. I have another prayer request for Bill and Connie Ignis' granddaughter, Regine. Where's she at? Did I get that one right? Regine? Okay, good. Doctors found an 8-centimeter tumor in her abdomen, and they're doing a biopsy. So pray for Bill and Connie's granddaughter. She's 29 years old. Also pray for Jeannie Hawkins. She had a surgery on Friday afternoon and got done sometime Friday in the evening, night sometime. And she's going to be in the hospital for a few days. She's doing better so far, but just be praying for Della and Jean. And then I have a thank you note as well from Marvin Carolyn. There are no words to describe the appreciation for the prayers and every nice thing that our church family did in the loss of our son, Derek. It will always be remembered. Thank you for your support. With love, Marv, Carolyn Snyder, and family. So hopefully you are keeping those things in your prayers. And the great thing is we can talk to God about anything. And we can bring those hurts, we can bring those, even our fears to the Lord in prayer. And a couple other announcements just to mention. If you have signed up or wish to sign up for the Women's Bible Study, which begins September 3rd, just in a couple weeks, please see Sharon Garfield after church to get your book. Cost for the book is to be paid at the first meeting. So, Sharon, where are you at? You're usually she's waving her arms right over there in the flowered shirt, I think. Is that what that is? Flowers? Okay. So, her husband just shrugged his shoulders, huh? Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, we do like to have a good time here. It's okay to laugh at, especially if you want to laugh at me, you can do that. And but we're looking forward to just preaching from the Word of God today. We're looking forward to going to the Lord in worship, singing a few songs, and we're looking forward even to giving. The ushers are already sitting there ready. The piano player's so excited. She just can't wait to get it. So we're just having a good time this morning, but let's just go to the Lord in a quick prayer before we move on with the rest of the service. Father God, we do lift up some of these requests that we've mentioned. We think of Jeannie, and we are thankful that Dr. Vance and those that were working on her there at the hospital were able to repair everything, and we just pray that the inside of her body would just heal and that she would be able to get back on her feet and do the things that she wants to do and just give Del strength as he cares for her over the next few days and weeks even. Lord, we pray for the Snyder family, Lord. We continue to pray for Cross and Shane, Derek's two boys that he left behind. Help them as they cope with this loss of their father. Lord, we lift up Diane's brother with this cancer issue and Lord, the different things that he's going through, not being able to gain enough weight. Father, we would pray that he would be able to gain some weight so that he can continue those treatments. Lord, we are thankful for Ruby and Shelby and Val Allen's progress with their health issues and continue to help them and give them strength and recover quickly. And Lord, there's other things that are slipping my mind right now, but Father, you are a God who cares. You didn't just spin this world and start it going. You are active and involved in all of our lives. And so, Lord, we would just pray, and we even lift up Pastor Don and his family, that they would continue to just find the time and ability and wherewithal just to relax and cool down, and that he would get some strength and maybe even continue to heal some of these symptoms he has been having, Father. Lord, we think of other things that, I'm just slipping my mind, Father, but you know, and we trust that you will work in each one one of those areas. Lord, we are thankful for all the folks that have gotten together this morning to make this service possible. And Father, I would ask that each one of my friends here sitting out here, that we would all participate in worship to you, that we didn't just come here just to go through the motions or something like that, but that we would be active participants in giving you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I was back there looking for a bulletin, so I knew when it was my turn. But it's on the screen, so. This is actually a sort of a difficult sermon to start. I've been kicking around several ideas of how I wanted to start out the sermon, but hopefully this one works, because this is the one we're going with. As a pastor, the problems that people talk to me the most about are usually emotional problems. It's not physical things like cancer. I mean, people do talk to me about physical problems, but it's always the emotional problems related to the physical problems that are worse. Things like worry and stress and anxiety. People often call me or email me and they talk to me about their worries over this country. They see a lack of unity in our nation. They see an obvious hatred for God. And they see a progression that it's just steadily getting worse and worse. But oftentimes the next words out of their mouth is, well, the rapture will happen before any of my worries come to fruition. It's almost as if the rapture is sort of our Christian escape plan, which is cool that you're looking forward to God's promises, but as a pastor, I just feel sometimes I need to warn us. I believe wholeheartedly in a literal great tribulation. It's described in Revelation, right? The Great Tribulation. And I believe that the Lord will come in the clouds and snatch us away so that we don't have to go through that. But that doesn't mean we might not experience lesser tribulation along the way. You know, things like financial problems or riots or famine or war or disease of some kind. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that our country is on a downward spiral. And don't get me wrong, I'm not up here trying to predict the future. I'm not doing anything weird. I'm not offering you some secret message that God gave me. But I will say this. God doesn't stand for killing babies. He doesn't stand for gross sexual sin, and he won't stand for our country not only participating in both, but promoting it and glorifying those things. So, you know, I just know judgment of some kind is coming. Actually, the way I put it in my notes is you might even call it a correction. A correction, an adjustment, an attitude adjustment. I don't know when it will happen, but I know it will eventually. So as your pastor and shepherd, I consider it part of my responsibility to warn you about God's judgment of sin. It's a huge part of my ministry. Warn people. Warn people about God's judgment. He doesn't let it slide. And this is true even if you are a born-again believer. If you're sitting here and you're sure about your eternal security and you know where you're going to be someday, God might still come alongside you and discipline you. And you shouldn't worry about that. You should just expect it. However, if you are a genuine Christian, you're not truly saved, then you should worry. You should be concerned. I want you to listen to Jesus' words in Luke chapter 12, verse 5. He says, I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast you into hell. I say you, fear him. You know, I'm here to warn you about judgment for sin. I'm also here to strengthen your faith by presenting God's word, the truth. Two huge jobs for pastors to be involved with. Warn you about judgment for sin and also strengthen your faith by presenting to you God's word, the truth. And we've been doing that, and we do that every Sunday, but we've been going through the book of Habakkuk, and we've learned that Habakkuk's nation is a lot like ours. His people were involved in all kinds of horrific sin, and violence was widespread. Does that sound familiar? And because of this, God was sending another nation to invade them and take them over. And at first, Habakkuk was upset. He was very concerned. He went to the Lord in prayer. He didn't understand why this was happening. He was questioning God. But we're going to see this morning that eventually Habakkuk came around and he began to place his faith completely in God. We're going to see that he was still scared, but he learned to place himself completely in God's hands. Let's read about it. If you have a Bible, find Habakkuk chapter 3. I believe it's Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So if you see one of those, you're getting close. Habakkuk chapter 3. Starting in verse 3. It says, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light he had raised flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows, Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. Habakkuk knows God will judge Israel. You see in these verses that he has finally accepted God's justice. But here's how. Habakkuk has finally come to understand God's plan. And in a sense, you see Habakkuk letting go of his burdens in these verses as he recalls God's powerful presence throughout history. And for Habakkuk, it didn't matter if he looked left to his past. It didn't matter if he looked right to his future. All he could see was God bringing glory to himself. Which, that's what we ought to do. How often last week did a burden, worry, or stress weigh you down? You don't have to raise your hand there, okay? Did you ever worry about anything? Anything at all?
Now, along the way of those worries, did you ever come to the realization that God will work that out for your good? Habakkuk did. And the circumstances surrounding him, this impending, imminent invasion, it didn't really matter anymore. All that mattered to him was God's plan. And that's what should matter to us. The only thing that mattered to Habakkuk was God's glory, and that ought to be the only thing that matters to us. In fact, just to make my point clearly, bringing God glory ought to be our biggest worry. Did I put that in my note sheet? I don't think I did. You should write that down. I should have put that in there. Bringing God glory ought to be our biggest worry, our biggest concern. Our biggest worries shouldn't be politics, personal feelings, comforts, money, family, children, health, or our spouse. After those things, there's this other tier of things that people worry about, right? I mean, you may come to me and say, well, I have a lot of worries. You've got nothing on some people. I mean, you can go on the internet and there's people that are just completely paranoid. You think you're worried? There's people that are worried about a zombie apocalypse. There's people that are worried about an alien invasion. But you know what? It doesn't matter if your worry is legitimate or not. Your number one concern should be bringing glory to God, no matter what's going on around us. Should be God's glory, following His will, living and walking in His path. That should be our greatest concern. And I believe in these verses, Habakkuk tells us why. There's two reasons why. Number one, God is mighty. And number two, God is faithful. God is mighty and God is faithful. Now, I know I read a big section of verses, and you're probably wondering, when am I going to reference these verses and sort of explain them all? There's a lot of heavy-duty history in these verses. Now, all these different locations are listed. They're all basically referring to different huge events that Israel went through in the past. Being led through the desert in Egypt and how God helped them and how there was plague that was brought to the land of Egypt and different things like that. And these verses are very poetic. And history and poetry, they're not really my strong suit. So you can get a commentary and you can read about all these locations and their significance later. But the big idea is God is mighty and God is faithful. I think we all know this. I think we all understand this. But oftentimes our problem is we look at our situation and we sort of get tunnel vision, don't we? Because we dwell on just that. We fixate on the problem instead of God's bigger purpose. And we see that problem and we forget, it slips our minds that God is mighty and that God is faithful. It slips our minds that God will be glorified and give us what is good. Because all we see is that problem. Way back on the back burner, we know God is good. We know He's mighty. We know He's faithful. But in the heat of the moment, we forget it. And all we see is that problem. Here's an idea. If you were, or if I have a problem, perhaps we should pray something like, God, I know who you are and what you are capable of. Is there something you are trying to teach me for your glory and my good? But no one ever prays like that. Because we're too busy fixating on the problem. Our prayers are normally something along the lines of, God, take this away. And you fill in the blank. when we should be saying, God, I know you are able, you are mighty, you are faithful, you've done great things for people in the past, but right now I want you to be glorified because I will trust you for my good. Yet that's so rare. All we want to do is sort of get our problem to back down just for a minute. When we should be repeating over and over the things we know about God that are true. God is right. God is good. He never does anything wrong. He's perfect. He's faithful. And he said that he will never leave us or forsake us. And he's been good and faithful for centuries. So why won't he continue to be? Sometimes, and I think this is what Habakkuk is doing, he's just repeating over and over what he knows to be true about the Lord. We do this. Even if you don't know you're doing this, you do this. Do you ever, in your prayer life, do you ever say, Lord, thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for my sin? You pray that? Yeah, a lot of us do that. We pray these things and we remember and thank him for what he did on the cross and his resurrection. We thank him for providing us with salvation. And it's reminders like this that actually help us cope. Even so, look down at verse 16. I didn't read this one, but look down at verse 16. Even though Habakkuk is sitting there repeating what he knows to be true about God, how mighty and how faithful he is, what does Habakkuk do? He trembles. He's still scared. Sure, he trusts in God. Sure, he knows that God will bring about what is good for him. But he's still almost fainting. He's trembling. He's shaking. Habakkuk's relationship with God is unmoved. It's unchanged. And those circumstances, this invading Babylonian army, that's they're still hanging over his head. And even though he knows that God is allowing this for his good, he's still scared. But Habakkuk models something extraordinary. He teaches us that we can still have joy and hope in spite of trembling because we're scared of the circumstances that are coming. I mean, these circumstances sometimes, they'll make us shake with anxiety or fear, but we can still have joy because we know God's in control. I think it all comes down to this. I think this is on the note sheet. What are we more concerned about? Let's take a quiz. If you have one of those and you have a paper, you can actually circle that or whatever. If you don't want anybody to see it, just do it in your mind. And you know the right answer, like the church answer. But I want you to be honest with yourself and put the real answer, okay? What are you more concerned with? Your personal welfare or God's will? Your personal welfare or God's will? I think all this is on the note sheet. You can circle your answer. Next question, what are you more concerned with? Are you more concerned with which political party wins the next presidential election or the purity of the church? What are you more concerned with? What do you talk about more? What are you maybe reading more pages about? Things like this. What are you more concerned with? Are you more concerned with becoming like Jesus or getting some material possession? You got to be honest with yourself here, okay? This isn't a quiz where I'm going to look over your shoulder and be like, oh, you know, Bonnie, I saw you answered wrong. That's going to be 6 hours of community church service. I'm not going to do that. This is between you and God. The Holy Spirit is actually looking over your shoulder, okay? What are you more concerned with, the comforts in this life or the kingdom of God? The more I grow as a pastor, the less I tend to dress things up.
Maybe it's not age. Maybe it's just because I love you guys more. But here's the thing. Habakkuk knew what was coming. We don't. God actually told Habakkuk, hey, you're going to be invaded by this country. This is the reason why. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But will you be ready? Will you rely on the truth? Many years ago in Romania, a young man accepted Jesus as his Savior, and this was back in the 70s when Romania was a communist country, and they would hunt down Christians, arrest them, imprison pastors. But he decided he was going to become a pastor, and he began studying at this underground Baptist seminary there, and he was given a theological book somehow, and they were very rare in that country in those days. And so when he got this theological book, he was just eating it up. He's just reading it, and as he was reading it, he began to see this American theologian that had written the book was just questioning everything. And this young Romanian pastor hopeful didn't know what to think, because everything he believed was being ripped apart. You know, Jonah and the whale was just a metaphor. You know, Jesus didn't really die, you know, the swoon theory and all these things. The Israelites didn't really cross the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea, and it was only ankle deep. And on this book went until everything that the Bible said was just dismissed. It was reduced to metaphors and stories. And in those days in Romania, it was a very dangerous place, as I was saying, for a young man. But he made a decision. He said, quote, I will not risk my life for metaphors. I know there's Christians today that dismiss the Bible like it didn't really happen, and maybe, hopefully, none of you write, okay? More common is we try to interject ourselves into the Bible. For instance, we read the story of David and Goliath, and what do? We put ourselves in David's shoes, and we're to slay the giants, right? That's this metaphor for giants in my life. Now, unless you've had a 10-foot-tall beast man yelling outside your house every night, you're not David. You and your giant problems are not the point of that story. God is the point of that story. What he has done in the past and what he's going to do in the future is the point. And when we get that, when we grasp this concept that we have a firm foundation built on truth, we'll be content and we can rejoice regardless of the circumstances. Now, it's only when we forget God's might and his faithfulness that we begin to crumble. I can never see that clock. I can't tell which hand is which hand. We're almost done. In closing, let's look at three reasons to rejoice, and this is where we're going to get some more Bible and some more explanation. It's only 1.5 pages. Three reasons to rejoice. Number one, God saved you. God saved you. You didn't save yourself. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We often read those verses, right? 8 and 9. Listen to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were brought to salvation by Jesus Christ. Because of grace. You weren't saved because you were so awesome that God wanted you on his team. It's the blood of Jesus.
Listen to Colossians chapter 2. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Did you do anything there? You can read that later, Colossians chapter 2. No! We couldn't do anything because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. God was the one who canceled the sin debt. God forgave us. And without his forgiveness and Christ's blood, the debt would be unpayable. God saves us. God rescues us. God delivers us. You know, remember that past work, and you've got something to rejoice about. Even if you have this huge problem hanging over your head, remember, God saved you. A second reason to rejoice, God is in control of everything. He has not abandoned us. I think that's the blank in your notes. He has not abandoned us. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, pretty familiar verse, right? I think we all know that verse. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. There at the end, Jesus said, I am with you when? Sometimes? I am with you only during the good times. I'm with you only when you ask. I'm with you only when I feel like it. I'm with you only when you're sin-free? No. Always. And that's a reason to rejoice. He'll never leave us. And I think Habakkuk was learning these lessons. It's God that's going to provide salvation. God's never going to leave me. Number three, God started this and he will finish it. Have you ever failed at anything before? Anybody? A few weeks ago. I'm going to pick on a couple people. I was looking for him so I can get eye contact. But a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, July 20th, we left on the canoe trip. And I had been working out for the prior couple months before that just to make sure I wasn't sore and dead on this canoe trip. And I felt good. And the third day of the canoe trip, you know, that morning, we were all packing up and there was a picnic table there. And I thought, well, now is the time to start some arm wrestling tournaments, right? Start crushing all the teenagers. So I got Jacob. Jacob. Got him. Boom. Obliterated him like he wasn't even there. And then we go to Caleb. Okay. You know, grab a hold of Caleb. Get him. He goes, are you doing it for real? Yeah, I'm doing it. Beat him. Okay. My third person. Caleb's uncle, Brad. Older than me. Bigger than me. Stronger than me. We line up, okay? But I have this confidence, right? I've been smashing people, okay? Okay, only two, but I'm ready. And I grab Brad's hand. And I can feel there's a difference, okay, between high schoolers and college students, all right? And Brad actually blasted through me like I wasn't even there, okay? I failed miserably, okay? I was crushed. And that's normal for all of us, right? We fail all the time. But God never does. He never makes mistakes. But Pastor Josh, what about this, you know? No. There's no buts. If God saved you, he will finish it. He will not fail you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, your sins, your failures, the times when you fall flat on your face, you know, they don't surprise God. They don't make him rethink your heavenly inheritance. He doesn't look at you and be like, oh, boy. I guess maybe I should consider repealing your justified ruling. He's not going to do that. What he started, he will finish. I guess what I'm trying to say is you cannot lose your salvation. Ephesians 1 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. It's pretty powerful stuff. Here's another verse. I've been hinting at it all morning. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think that's the key part of that verse. Whose purpose is it? It's God's purpose. Again, you, we, are not the point. And the more you think that your feelings are the driver of your life or that your happiness is paramount, the more miserable you will become and the further away from God's will that you will be. Because God is the point, not us. Okay, well, you know, my thyroid cancer that spread to my lymph nodes, which they were concerned that it might further spread to my lungs. You know, I had this central neck dissection. That was for my good, according to his purpose. That was part of his plan. Now, do I wish that it would have gone another way? Sure. Do I wish that I wasn't fatigued so often and so quickly? Absolutely. Am I looking forward to the lack of focus and concentration that happens day in and day out? Not one bit. But biblically, I know that all of this is for my good and for the eternal purposes of God. So it's worth it all. Hebrews says that God is the author and finisher of our faith. Don't ever think that you have the power to finish this all by yourself. At one time, Habakkuk might have thought that until he finally said, wait, this is about God's glory, not me. Next Sunday morning, we can come on up here and get ready for the last song. Next Sunday morning is going to be our last Sunday in the book of Habakkuk. The Lord has taken us on an exciting journey through the book. Been praying about where we're going to go next. I think it's going to be 1 and 2 Peter. I might still change my mind, but I think that's what it's going to be. But if the Lord's been teaching you some things from Habakkuk, don't just walk away in the next couple weeks and be like, oh, Habakkuk, that's cool. That's neat. That was a neat book. Let the Holy Spirit actually teach you. Maybe go back to it, reread it. Maybe, like I challenged you, read about all these places in history that are in that big list and see what the Lord did for the nation of Israel and then know what he can do for you. Let's pray. Father, I know that there is a number of burdens, there is a number of heartaches that are lingering, whether they happened yesterday or 30 years ago. Father, at times we all struggle with trusting you. Lord, help us to come to the realization like Habakkuk did that you are mighty, you are faithful. Help us to rest on that truth. Lord, our emotions will defy us, our logic and reason might betray us, but your truth never will. Help us to rest on it. And Lord, when we stray, when we start following some other path, bring us back with your truth to a firm foundation. Lord, I pray for my friends in here. Father God, perhaps there's somebody in here that still has the judgment of eternal hell still hanging over them because they've never accepted your Son as their Savior. I would pray for their soul's eternal sake that they would make a decision today, that they wouldn't put that off. Lord, I also pray for my friends in here that have already accepted Jesus as their Savior, that are maybe struggling with some worry, that you'd bring us back to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.